It's 10 a.m. on a Monday, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from Kingston, Ontario. Coming up next, Sherry Doherty and Finding Your Way Home. Real talk on real estate.
Good morning, and welcome to Finding Your Way Home. I am your host, Sherry Doherty, and I'm delighted to be with you every week talking about the Kingston and area local housing market. Today, I've decided that we should focus on condominiums. I'm not sure how much people know about condominiums, but we're going to go back to basics just to make sure that people actually understand what a condo is and what it means to them if they decide to make that part of their lifestyle. Now, any good realtor should sit down with you when you start the buying journey and do what I refer to as a new buyer intake. And one of the questions that I always ask people is whether or not a condominium would be something that they would consider. Of course, we also talk about whether they'd look at a semi or a fully detached home, what neighborhoods, whether they'd like a bungalow or a multi-story, all those really important questions. But condominiums often come up. There's so much information that people don't know about condominiums, so I thought as we're still kind of laying the foundation for these shows, we're going to explore a variety of different topics and give you just little bits of information, and then we'll continue to deep dive into them as time passes. Now, it is very commonly known that the condominium market in Ontario is extremely slow, particularly in Toronto. I've heard some crazy statistics about whether or not there was not another new condo startup in the next 2 years, we would still have inventory on the market if they didn't build another one because they're that slowly turning over. And condominiums that were selling even 5 years ago for $500,000 or $600,000 are now selling in the $350,000s. So if you're looking to pick something up in the Toronto condo market, it's not a bad time. You just have to have a lot of patience for that market to rebound. Now, thankfully, for very many reasons, we don't live in Toronto. Our condo market is also softer, and it does take time to sell condos in our region. However, I'm happy to report to you that last year, 23% of the sales that I made were actually condos. And that was a surprising statistic even to me. I know that we all talk about the condo market being so quiet, and I was doing some data reflecting and thinking about how 2025 had gone for me and realized that 23% of the units that I moved were actually condos. So I'm going to self-appoint myself a little bit of an expert. So going backwards, let's talk about what a condo is in very plain language, just to give people a really good general understanding. And then we're going to talk about the pros and cons of ownership in a condominium and the key things that people should consider if they are thinking about moving into a condominium. So by definition, a condominium is a home where you own the individual unit, but you share ownership of the building and the common areas. And simply put, you own everything inside the walls. And the condo corporation, which is typically how these entities are formed, which you become an owner in, owns things like the roof, exterior, the lobby, elevators, if there are some, pool, parking lot, landscaping, and all sorts of things like that. So the financial structure is that you become a shareholder of the condo corporation, and the corporation, which in it itself is an entity, actually is responsible for the building, maintenance, structure, often things like landscaping and snow removal and all those sorts of things. And you own everything that's inside your four walls. Now, of course, that comes at a fee. So you will pay monthly into condominium fees to cover all those things that we talked about. And condo fees can be very expensive, to be completely honest. There are condos in our region that have monthly fees upwards of $1,200 a month. And that's not your mortgage payment, that's just your condo fee. And then you can find some that are more like $400 a month, but I don't think I've even seen any that are much south of $400 a month. So, and that's getting you basic things, just like I said, your elevator, your lobby, your parking, and the common area things that are in the building. So you do absolutely have to ask when you're exploring a condominium whether or not that's something that you can actually even afford, is that additional payment. Because even if you were pre-approved for a certain amount, that certain amount might not have also considered a hefty condo fee that would be a new expense that you would have. So you would have to go back and reconsult your mortgage agent if you were going to explore a condominium. Typically, you would think about an apartment style building. There are lots in Kingston. We have little three-story buildings all the way up to the massive luxury ones that are right on the waterfront. Those are the expensive ones. There are also townhouse style homes, something like Frontenac Village, which is the place right behind the Slush Puppy place with the red roofs. And that offers a great lifestyle. I'm very familiar with it. I work in there often. And then sometimes there are even detached homes that are under a condominium corporation structure. It's a little bit rarer, but mostly in our region, we see the apartments and the townhouses. So what are the good things about living in a condominium? The best thing, and most relevant, obviously, particularly after this winter, is that it is essentially maintenance free. So you don't have to shovel, you don't have to mow your own lawn, you don't have to worry about replacing the roof. It is really, really great for busy professionals, people who are retired, or people who are snowbirds. Great thing, I'll use Frontenac Village again as an example, is lots of people live in there. They turn the key in November, they go somewhere south, and they come back in April, and they're ready to resume their life. But all the property and all the surrounding areas in the complex they live in have been maintained and cared for by the condo corporation. So that's one great bonus about living in condominiums. If you don't want to mow your lawn or shovel your snow, this is a lifestyle you might want to consider. The other thing is predictable shared costs. So if there is a major roof repair, or if there are windows needed to the entire building, that's shared amongst all the condominium owners. Now, I think this can kind of come at a pro and a con, because in some cases, depending on where you live, there can be very large special assessments, and a special assessment we're going to talk about in a little bit. But that's when the condo corporation comes along and says, okay, you're paying $600 a month for regular condominium fees, but we need to do a one-time special repair to the building that's going to be really expensive. So for the next 3 years, that's going to be another $400 a month to contribute to this entire roof repair. And I've even seen those be $100,000 per unit in some of the really nice buildings downtown on the waterfront. So you need to be prepared for that. And part of my mindset is, if you live in some of those buildings, you probably have access to resources, and that may not hurt as much as it would to the typical homeowner to have to come up with $100,000. I wouldn't want to have to. However, the idea is that when there are repairs like this, it is being shared amongst you and all your neighbors. So it should soften it ultimately. Now, the other thing is, it gives you the opportunity to have access to amenities that you might not typically have access to. So you may not be able to afford your own pool. And with these kind of living arrangements, you're going to have a pool and a gym, often party rooms, in some cases, a overnight suite that your friends and family can come and stay in. There's concierge services. There's all sorts of things that you may not be able to own or have if it was just your own independent living space. So those are some great features. Another thing that's really important, and you don't necessarily get it in your single family home, is a lot of these buildings come with security. So most of them have controlled entry, and it is a close-knit community. So people notice when somebody's in there that shouldn't be. They all know who their neighbors are. And so you do feel safe. Potentially, if you were someone who lived alone, I would feel safer in something that had a controlled entry and where I knew that my neighbors were keeping an eye out for me, and they knew who should and shouldn't be in our complex. It also, again, provides a great lifestyle flexibility. We have lots of military people, lots of educators, and we have lots of military people and doctors in our region, and they all have very busy, busy lives. So it's great that it gives them some flexibility with their schedule. They can turn the key and go. That also works, like we mentioned, about the snowbirds. People just want to be able to turn the door. So there's lots of big benefits to considering this lifestyle. The biggest con, though, of course, is going to be the cost. So you have to weigh the pros and the cons and see if the cost is worth it for you. So moving on into the cons then, the number one con of living in a condominium is that there are never-ending condo fees. They're never really paid off. They most likely will increase over time. And there is the risk at any time of one of these special assessments that we talked about. You also have less control about deciding when the common elements will be repaired. So in your home, if you had a single family home, you could know that sometime in the next 3 to 5 years, I'm going to need a new roof. So I'm going to put aside a roof fund. And unfortunately, in a condo complex, unless you're on the board, you probably don't have a lot of say about when they decide that's going to happen. So you do have to have like a good bit of pocket money or some money set aside for when they may come along and say that they're either increasing the condo fees or that they're coming along and saying it's time we need to make a major renovation. So you don't really have too much control over that. There will also be lots of rules and regulations. So there are always condo board documents that you want to read in detail before you sign on to have this lifestyle. And they can be things, honestly, like the color of your blinds that can be on the exterior, or the height of your fence, or whether or not you can have a barbecue, or where you can plant things. So some people don't like rules very much. And the one interesting thing about rules is under the Ontario Landlord-Tenant Agreement Act, you can technically not restrict people from having a pet unless that person is renting from a condo board and the condo rules say that there are no pets. If that's in the bylaws, that overrides the Ontario rule that there are no pets. And there are some condos in our region that are very pet friendly. They're kind of unrestricted, but there are others that have zero pet policies. And if you have a fur friend, that's probably very important to you. So you want to make sure that you check on things like that before you sign up. I know I've talked about this a lot, but again, special assessments. What happens as well is the condo corporation will go through a reserve fund study every so often or a couple of years. And if the auditor determines that the reserve fund is too low, because they do need to be reserving money for liability reasons, which we haven't even touched on yet, and or major repairs, then they're going to have to reach out to all of the homeowners and ask them to increase their condo fees so they can build back that reserve fund. And that actually often happens after a special assessment, because they will have used as much as they can without making the reserve unhealthy. And then after you paid the special assessment, your condo fees might go up again because they need to replenish the reserve fund. So it's very technical and there's a lot of money there. We always make sure when we make an offer on a condominium, it is conditional on the review of the condo documents by a lawyer. And we make sure that that lawyer looks very closely at the health of the overall reserve. So those are really important things. The other one con that's kind of left to talk about is you're part of a corporation, so you don't get to make independent decisions. You can have influence because they do listen to the members who are part of the corp, but you also, to get a little bit more influence, maybe ask to volunteer on the board of directors and or on any of the committees, but you don't get to make an independent decision that today I'm just going to start putting a barbecue on my property when they told me that I couldn't have a barbecue on my property. That isn't just how it works. So there's many things that you need to consider if you were thinking about making condo life for you. And again, when you are looking at these, just make sure you really look into the details and really take your time with it and make sure you have a professional review them with you. So the condo fees, the first thing is find out what they include. Sometimes they include heat and water and parking. Sometimes they include nothing. And those are also additional expenses you're going to need to plan for if they're not included. So is it the heat, the hydro, the parking? Is there internet included? Is there snow removal? Is there building? Typically, there's building insurance. Is there garbage pickup? What is all included in those condo fees that you're paying for on a monthly basis? As I mentioned, you want to make sure that you have a reserve fund study done by your lawyer who's working on your real estate transaction for you. So they want to make sure that it is healthy and that there is plenty of money there to make sure that it is being protected and that the condo corporation is being run efficiently and effectively. So honestly, like, also not too much money being stuffed in the condo corporation, but not too little money being put in the condo corporation, so that in the event something does come up, that there is money there to pull from and all the residents don't have to come up with a very large emergency fund with at least without any warning. The history of special assessments, so you do want that also looked at, is what has been done recently, because that will tell you what doesn't have to be done again for potentially another 10 or 20 years. So if the roof has been done in the last couple of years, that's probably a good thing. If the elevators have been maintained, if there's a pool, when was the last time the pool was repaired and or replaced, because those are very expensive. And how frequently are those things taken care of? Windows as well are big ones. And if you go back in the special assessment history and you see that none of those things have been done in a very long time, you can bet that they're coming up, because those things do come up in any structure and in any building. And so you want to be asking questions about, okay, I see that the roof hasn't been done in 10 years. When's the plan? Or are we starting to prepare for an assessment of when the roof is going to need to be done? The status certificate needs to be reviewed. So again, I mentioned that when we make an offer on a condominium, we always request the status certificate of the individual unit, as well as the overall condominium documents and bylaws. And the individual unit is really important as well, because you want to make sure that the person that you are buying from is in good standing with the condo corporation. You want to make sure that all of their condo fees are paid up and current and will continue to be up until the day you take possession of the property. There is another thing where in buildings where there is a special assessment, it can actually be part of the negotiations in making the purchase, whether or not the seller of the unit pays off the special assessment before the buyer takes possession, or whether or not that is something that the buyer is willing to assume, because there's real dollars there and it is a cost. So as part of the real estate negotiation, it is determined who pays the special assessment if there is a current and active one. Another thing that we're digging in there is to see if there's any active lawsuits against the condo corporation, because becoming part of the condo corporation, you assume a level of liability for that. And so we always look to make sure that there aren't any active and open lawsuits that are against this condo corporation. And if we do, the lawyer absolutely explores it, sees what the risk involved is, and whether or not it's something that they would recommend to this potential buyer that they can tolerate the risk for. I know I mentioned it already, but there are most cases pet policies. So it's either you can have any pet you want, except for the things you can't have, obviously, that are not regulated in Ontario. But you also, they can say the number of pets you can have, the size of pets you can have. Some of them will say you can have up to a 20-pound dog, but you can't have a dog that's more than that. And some people just don't like that. Obviously, our pets are very important to us all. Another thing that they can impose rules on is how you use the unit. So if you were thinking about buying a condo as an investment purchase, a lot of investors do for their first investment because they can rent it out to someone. A lot of the buildings don't allow you to rent it. It needs to be for personal family use, or maybe to unrelated people, it will say, but many of them are not interested, particularly in student rentals. So they're not going to let you buy a 3-bedroom apartment in some of our buildings and then have 3 unrelated students living in it. They also are often not interested in short-term rentals. So if you were thinking about putting it up on Airbnb, you may not be able to because of the condo bylaws. And all of these things need to be really closely looked at before you purchase a condominium. The additional thing you need to be considering is the age and the condition of the building. Again, we talked about this already because we want to know when the roof and the windows are going to be repaired or when they last were repaired, so that you can plan or put aside a slush fund for a potential special assessment. You also need to think about how it's insured. So this is an interesting one, but you actually insure, like we talked about, all the things within the four walls. So kind of like renter's insurance, but you insure your contents with your personal home insurer, I'll call them. So all your clothes and your personal belongings, your furniture, your TV, all of your things. But the condo corporation actually would insure the building. So in the event that there's a fire, the condo corporation's insurance company would pick up replacing the building structure, but your personal insurance would replace your contents that were within the structure. So you might think, I live in a condo, I don't have to have insurance. That is incorrect. You do have to have insurance for all of your personal belongings and your personal contents. So keep that in mind, and it's another cost that you need to factor into the whole equation. The additional thing is whether or not the unit comes with parking and storage, and is it common area parking? So lots of the smaller buildings, say in the West End of Kingston, have open lots, and you just pick whatever spot is available for you that day, but there should be a spot per unit. Or do you have exclusive use parking, which means it would be numbered parking, and it's actually deeded to your condo unit, so you get parking spot number 3 every single day. A thing that really matters to people is whether or not there is underground parking. There aren't too many buildings in Kingston that have underground parking, so that is a big benefit if you come into one of those buildings. We live in Canada. No one wants to have to scrape ice off of their car or get the snow off of it, particularly, again, after this winter. So a lot of people will say, I want underground parking. There's a couple of good buildings that do have underground parking. And again, Frontenac Village has underground parking. What I've been asked a lot about recently as well, though, is EV charging and whether or not these buildings provide EV charging. So some do and some don't. But if you own an electric vehicle, you really want to make sure that the condo that you're purchasing into has an EV charging station, because that's going to cause a challenge if you're not able to charge your vehicle. Same applies for lockers. So in more likely the apartment buildings, you might want a locker because the units don't necessarily have tons of space like a basement you'd have in a traditional home. So there's often a locker attached to it, which might be in the basement. In some cases, it's actually in the underground parking. But you want to make sure that that is also exclusive to you as well. Obviously, you don't want to share a locker with somebody else's stuff. Those things are typically deeded to the condo unit, so you want to make sure that those are yours and yours for the exclusive use. Now, big bonus in Kingston if you can get a unit that has 2 parking spots, which is fantastic. Obviously, those units would come at a premium because there is an additional value to that. And even in some cases, people pick them up and they don't use the second parking spot, but they rent it out to other people in the building who do want a second parking spot. The other thing you need to think about is your lifestyle fit. So are you okay, potentially, if you're in a building, knowing there's someone above you, there's someone below you, there is potentially someone on either side of you? How much noise transfer is there? Are you comfortable using an elevator on a regular basis? So if you do have a pet, do you want to have to go down multiple flights in an elevator or in stairs to take your pet out multiple times a day so they can relieve themselves? That's definitely something to think about. There are options, like I was saying, there are some that you can get, like a main floor condo. You could literally have a bit of a backyard that you could walk out then. And some of those are lovely because they're right on Lake Ontario and you end up right on the walking path, which is beautiful if that's the lifestyle that you're looking for. But then there are other options where there are condo townhouses where it is more like a traditional home and you would have your own potentially fenced backyard, so you wouldn't have to worry about an elevator. And that's a big thing. People really care about elevators and people really care about, a lot of cases, single level living. I had a condo for sale last year which was beautiful, but it happened to have 7 stories in it, so it was definitely difficult to sell because a lot of people who were looking to move into that community were looking for a single level living, or at least 1 or 2 levels, because they were downsizers. So condos are definitely an interesting option for people. I really like some of the units, and I often think about whether or not it's something that I would explore. You do have to sit down and look at, you know, all the pros and cons that we've discussed here today. There are it's a great option for many people. And like I mentioned, whether or not you're a downsizer or a first-time buyer, whether or not you're an investor, again, you want to check whether or not you can actually rent out the unit. Professionals who travel, they love them. Snowbirds love them. And it's just, if you're tired of winter, this is a great solution. Now, what I would say to people is we've just stepped into March and we are on the cusp of a spring market. I know I've mentioned it previously, but we live in a military town and we are about to get people in on their house hunting trips, as well as just a traditional Ontario spring market. We have that extra factor here. So there's going to be a lot of activity. We're already seeing a lot more listings coming on the market because people are going to try and get as much exposure as possible to their home and to their listing. And we're starting to see the buyers kind of crop up a little bit. Because honestly, I didn't even want to go out in this January or February, let alone go out and try and open an icy lockbox. But people are starting to wake up and the market is about to get busy. There are a lot of condominiums available right now on the market. If this is a lifestyle that you think you'd be interested in, I highly encourage you to start your search now before the rest of the spring competition comes out. There are some that have been there for quite some time. So if someone is still sitting on the market, you know that they do want to sell. So that often means that the price is negotiable. And you want to capitalize on that before the rest of the competition comes out. Because even sometimes our military members, because it's an easy lifestyle, will move into those and they might start to snatch them up. So this is something, if you've had it with this winter and this is something that you've thought that you want to explore, it's absolutely the right time to do so. I highly recommend that you start your search and really look at all the buildings and look at the options. And one of the greatest places, of course, to start is, you know, where do I want to live? What's on my must-have list? And some people will say, you know, absolutely must have underground parking or covered parking. I am not doing another winter. Agreed. I think that people should have that on their must-have list. Some people, particularly if they're downsizing from, say, their big home that they raised their family in, and they just want to have a little bit easier lifestyle, have said, I've always dreamed of waterfront. So when I move into a condominium, it absolutely must be waterfront. And I agree with them. If I was to do it, I would want waterfront too. So you can kind of sit up and look at the beautiful perches and look at the water and enjoy it from your maintenance-free condominium. That's a beautiful thing that you might want to consider as well. You want to know the number of bedrooms that you want. Is it important to you that there's a pool? Because you really want to look at the amenities. You also want to consider where it is. So are you someone who continues to use transit? That may mean, if you are, that parking isn't important to you. A lot of people want the walking lifestyle who choose to live in downtown Kingston. So they'll either walk to the university, walk to the hospitals, walk. I don't think you'd really walk to the military base. Well, those guys are in really great shape, so they might walk to the military base. But often they just want to be able to walk to the local restaurants and entertainment and grocery stores and all the great things that downtown Kingston living offers. There's also a couple of really great condo buildings. I know that there's a couple of spectacular ones in Gananoque. I love those waterfront ones right in Gananoque. There's also a really couple of popular buildings in Napanee that people really enjoy, and they offer some great opportunities. The one thing I would say is there are condo new build projects going on. I would be very careful and make sure that you consult your experts. As I say with almost everything, you should consult your experts before you actually make a deposit on a condo new build, because at some point they won't actually put the shovel in the ground until they've sold a certain number of units. And so you want to know where you are in that and what their timeline looks like before you're thinking, oh, I'm going to move in a year and maybe it's actually going to be 3 or 4 and they're holding your deposit and the project's delayed and there could be lots of complications. So just be really, really careful. At any rate, there are so many incredible options for living in our region, whether or not you are looking for a condominium, if you're looking for your first home, an investment property, a recreation property. I'm so excited in the future. We're going to do an episode about recreation properties, and there's nothing I love more than an August good summer showing. That is one of the joys of what I do for a living, is just getting to see all the amazing lakes in our region, see all the amazing cottages, or some people live permanently at the homes, and helping people find that, because it's a great joy. And we live in this beautiful region that offers all of that. So I am excited that we will be doing an episode about that in the future as well. There's just so many great topics to uncover. You could also send in a suggestion to the station. If there's anything that you've heard me talking about that you'd like us to explore more, then I'm more than happy to do that. Or my contact information is everywhere. If you just wanted to look me up, you could also contact me directly, because I'm totally open to knowing what our community wants to learn about. With that, I do wish you a wonderful day. I thank you for tuning in, and I hope that wherever you are, you're enjoying your home your way.
It's 10:30 a.m. here in the city of Kingston, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up next, we have segment one of No Chords Barred.
I was born in Cincinnati. My daddy worked on the roof. We were trying to back around that time. He took us down to West Virginia. My night trouble started up. I was stealing and getting in fights. Smoking and drinking at age 13. Skipping class and getting high. And I quit school at 15. My daddy put me out. My mama cried. Goodbye. Never heard such a lonesome sound. I went to stay in with my best friend's brother. But he's living cooking sweet. Says a man can always get by. We can cook it real nice and clean. So I stuck around for a couple. He was busted in 89. 18 years old, out on my own. I forget what I saw was mine. By 92, I was 21. I was back out on the street. Two whole years of counting time, charged with manufacturing. Now I was aware they come a new thing. Took like wildfire to the hill. Speed was no longer king. Now everybody was wanting pills. Now you might say that I'm just a type to seek his honey at the source. So me and this cat, I met back in the county. We started robbing drugstores. The Lord, we was right. He was high as a Tennessee pine. You gotta know a junkie's gonna let you down. It's just about the time. And when all time comes, it was midnight. 2 weeks ago in Morgantown. It was knocking off a little over. Just when the clock ran out. And we were all packed. Turned out to be quite a score. It had the car waiting in the air. Was walking out the door. Well, my partner takes 2 steps outside. He stops and he hollers to me. And a voice that I didn't recognize. He said, son, don't you so much as breathe. And I come out of my partner's shop. And I squeezed off a couple shots. First time I ever pointed a gun at a man. And I done killed a cop. Now it's a fact that you can't get a bullet back. Once you've pulled a trigger, there's no way in hell they're gonna ever stop looking for a cop. Thank you. looking back, I knew it all along. Knew we'd never have a chance. Right now, I know it makes no difference. I never meant to kill this man. But now, held up in a hotel in Kansas, surrounded by police. No way I'm getting out of line. There's no way I'm going free. So I'm 24 years old. I'm in trouble most of my day. I'm a sailor I never thought it was gone in this way. And of all of my regrets, to the trouble me most, wish I could have been a better mama. Wish I never took a shot though. So Lord, if you listen, I never asked much of you. I already know I ain't gonna help. What they say is true, then you'll forgive me for what I'm about to do.
That was PEI native Catherine McClellan with the song Don't Need No One, which goes all the way back to her 2009 sophomore album Dark Dream Midnight. Now, she happens to be the daughter of Canadian songwriting icon Jean McClellan, and the show began with another offspring of a music icon, the late Justin Townes Earl, son of Steve Earl. We heard Appalachian Nightmare, a track from Justin's final album, 2019's The Saint of Lost Causes. Hello, everyone, and welcome to No Chords Barred, a 90-minute show that features artists from all around the globe, some you might know, but most you probably won't. Now, every week, this show attempts to bring together music from the past 5 decades to hopefully show that good music exists over a wide span of time and also over a wide range of genres. Now, in reality, genres today are very loosely defined, and that's thanks in large part to record labels having less and less influence over recording artists. As many artists now choose the independent route, freedom to create outside of predefined genre boxes is commonplace, and hopefully this show will do a good enough job of demonstrating that. So on to the next set of music, and we'll begin with Puddle of Mud, the post-grunge project of Kansas City native Wes Scantlin. From their 2001 sophomore album Come Clean, this is Blurry.
You can be my seed. question that your parents I'm calling you for. Say don't get embarrassed and you gotta walk home. There's something I'm thinking and I'm gonna come for you. I'm placing my bets on the fastest horse. I'll stand right where you can see me boiling over, but I don't mind it. Look so pretty, talking dirty, and I just wanna make you. Took the shortcut and I found you there, by our old place in ways you never cared. And I've been biting on the leash, begging you to set me free. You call my bluff. When the cold came on, I breathed relief. Your forgiveness only is with breeze. But how
past the seashells. Remember the day when you stole all my light. I couldn't breathe in the sea swell. Now only your friends say they got the bends. I don't care about them. I don't see through your lens now. I'll make amends. I'll hang with my brothers cause we love each other.
That was a four-piece indie rock band from Sydney, Australia that goes by the name The Sooks. And we heard the song Quit Holding Me Down from the 2026 EP Wasting All My Time. Before them, we heard Los Angeles-born and now New York City-based Christiane with Half Full, a track from her 2026 album Not Anything, Just Everything. And Nashville-based Hannah Eid with the song Bet from her 2025 album Trains Running Backwards. The set opened with Puddle of Mud and the song Blurry, their most successful track, which is on their 2001 album Come Clean. This is No Chords Barred with me, Donald Finnegan, and we'll take a short break and come right back with the next set of music.
Join CFRC 101.9 FM for our Airwave YGK concert happening September 20th from 1 till 4 p.m. at the Broom Factory. Catch amazing local rockers Squid Pistol, The Winter in Canada, and headliners Lumpfish at this high-energy, all-ages concert. Tickets are $15 in advance or $20 at the door, and you can get your advance tickets now at cfrc.ca. See you there, punks. When the snow
After 9 long months, Gale's Game Day makes its triumphant return to CFRC.
Queens Gales, our golden once more.
Tune in on Sunday, August 30th at 6:45 p.m. to catch all the action that makes you stand up and say...
OMG!
This is Canada's most exhilarating sports broadcast.
And it's picked off, picked off, picked off!
This is Canada's gold standard of football action. This is Gale's Game Day.
Running hard, breaking away, touchdown Queens!
and it can only be found on CFRC 101.9 FM.
My name is Genevieve, and I'll be hosting Peace, Love, and Jenny on CFRC 101.9 FM on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. We'll be exploring everything from pop and soul to funk, jazz, and even a touch of hip-hop. Music that spans decades but all connects through good vibes, peace and love, and of course, a little bit of me, Jenny. See you there!
It's 11 a.m. here in the city of Kingston, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up, we have the second hour of No Chords Barred.
Welcome back to No Chords Barred. We'll open up this next set with Ottawa-based Lynn Hansen, an award-winning singer.